Welcome back to the Change of Plans podcast. I'm Joe Aguirre along with Vin Provenzano. And Vin, what's going down? You're in the car tonight.
Yes, I'm parking lot pimping, dude. I'm riding dirty. Riding real dirty. It's busy day, dude. I've been at it since 4 a.m. Had to so the kids high school named a new football coach. And this guy, like, if Red Bull was a person, it would be this guy, dude. Like, I almost tore my shirt off. It was just too strong of cotton. But
coaches are intense individuals. Those are pretty intense people.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. This one's a different breed, man. Definitely different than the last one. So, like, I'm really stoked. I was like, I wish I wasn't fucking chubby and 44 because I'd go play. But those days have passed me. So I'm just sitting here in a Dairy Queen parking lot. Probably will get arrested at some point for sitting here too long because there's a bunch of high school kids just hanging out.
And I'll probably get a blizzard before it's all said and done.
God, I miss blizzards. If I wasn't lactose intolerant and didn't want to shit my pants, I'd get one right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so funny you say that because I love ice cream, but boy, I can't have ice cream after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or forget about it. Big trouble.
No, it's bad news everywhere. But yeah, so I'm just hanging out, man. But you know, time is limited. I know you are running around all week, so that's what we do.
Yeah,
man.
You know, it's funny. In addition to the morning show that I do and the afternoon show that I do, for the past 4 days, I've been recording covering someone else's morning show. And they asked me if I would do it, and I was like, yeah, because I'm not busy enough, sure. And right. And I talked to the guy and he was like, it's a lot of work. And I laughed and he was like, no, I'm serious. It's a lot of work. Like, I do.
You're like, I know I have my own morning shows.
Yeah. I already do one. So yeah, funny story though. I have figured out how to manipulate the system. And so I'm recycling.
You shouldn't narc on yourself, bro. This is what my criminals do.
You know, funny you say that.
Let me tell you how I game the system right now so I can walk into
work
tomorrow.
This is a funny story. Did you see the state senator in Minnesota that got arrested for burglary? She had a relative.
No, I watched zero news things.
All right, so this state senator in Minnesota had a relative with dementia. Somehow, the state senator's father's ashes ended up in this person's house. She breaks into the house, steals the ashes, gets caught, and you're going to love this as a defense lawyer, Vin. She tells the cops she broke in to steal her father's ashes. Put yourself at the scene of the crime and give them the motive. Cuff me.
Listen, it's that, you know what it is, because everyone has been lied to since birth, right? Everyone's like, honesty is the best policy. That's what you're like. That's what they teach you. And if you're just honest, you're going to be okay. It's not fucking true. It's not fucking true. And if you commit crimes, people, you're listening to this podcast and you're robbing banks and shit, no video and fucking deny, deny, deny. That's it. That's it. Nothing good comes from owning up to your mistakes. Like, own up to yourself. Like, go home and be like, I'm not going to rob a bank again, to yourself, not out loud so someone can hear you, and then move on with life. But, like, it's fucking wild to me. It's like people have never seen Law and Order or, like any type of law movie. Like anything, like they always say, don't talk to the cops. And the first fucking thing every one of my clients could do is they fucking talk to the cops. Hold on 1 second, Joe. I got some good news. I got good news. I got good news. I gotta let everybody know. I got a text message. I just got a dog placed. A dog placed. Just now, like a live. Let me do. I'm gonna do a text message while you talk. I was sorry that I rudely interrupted, but ladies and gentlemen, we just saved a yellow lab from Honduras. The dog just flew in from Honduras 2 days ago.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, we're going to talk about your place in a minute. The cops are good, though, because the cops do a masterful job. Like, hey, listen, just tell us you were there. Tell us it was your knife. It will let you go. And people are like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. I did it, and it was my knife. And then they get cuffed, and they go to jail forever.
Dude, I had one guy. He's just, like, sitting there on his bicycle at a fucking stop sign. This guy's, like, 45, bro. And has been arrested 38 times. 38. So the cop just rolls up. He's like, yo, so-and-so. How you doing, Popo? Hey, can we search you real quick? Guy's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Just search. Go in my front pockets. Literally says go in my front pockets. It looked like he took half of the mountain of, like, out of Aspen. And just stuffed it all in his fucking pants, bro. Like, I couldn't even fucking believe. So then this jabron goes to court. I get him an offer. He's like, yo, I want to do a program. I'm like, you're going to fail a program and go to jail forever. I want to do the program. I'm like, and then it became a game. I'm like, you can do the program. He misses out on the program because he had bed bugs. And the judge is like, okay, let's give you the program again because this is getting entertaining. He robs a liquor store. Runs out the window he broke in and lies down underneath a truck that's parked in front of the liquor store. Like, the cops aren't going to see him fucking just hiding out underneath a truck in front of the liquor store broke into.
Right. And the
cops, that is my life.
Like,
and then
bud.
I got to go. Yeah. And then
the
I got to go
like,
argue
bud.
That this
you know,
guy
listen.
Is not a bad dude.
Sometimes we all go off the rails. We break into a liquor store. Just tell us you did it and everything will be fine. Yes,
so
officer, it was
though.
Me. I dare going to jail. You have the right to remain. That is people, you know, Vin, I see on social media a lot. Lawyers do like TikToks, and that is the
yes.
overwhelming theme, and it's funny because, you know, there's kind of a fine line because you're like, on the one hand, you don't want to come across as sounding like you're anti-law enforcement. And there's this idiotic notion in this country, right? If you just cooperate with the cops, everything will be fine.
Yo,
right? I mean, you won't get shot. You won't get shot, but you'll get arrested for the thing that you did. Don't talk to like, the cops. Don't answer any questions.
My favorite thing is, like, the cops tricked me, and that's illegal. Like, that's my favorite. Like, by far, it's just, like, they tricked me, and it's illegal. I'm like, no, that's what they're supposed to fucking do. But then I get in these conversations with cops, and they get mad at me because I don't let my clients cooperate. And I'm like, well, I'd be the worst fucking lawyer in the entire world. But, sir, I need you to arrest my client. Like, I am very clear, copper. I need you to do your job and arrest my client so I can get paid. I don't get paid unless you arrest this dumb motherfucker. Okay? So I can't help you do it. But if you're picking up what I'm putting down, I need you to do your job just a little bit better. Just a little bit better, man. So, yes. So
fact of the matter is... This is important, I think, for people to know, too. If you, not that we have a lot of delinquents watching this podcast, but maybe we do.
Never know.
Most of the time, it's the confession that's going to do you in. Right? Like, if they had video evidence or really any evidence that it was you, they would have already arrested you. The fact that they call you in, right. They're like, would you mind coming in? And you're like, am I under arrest? They're like, no, we just want to talk. They think you did it, but they don't have the evidence. They want you to provide that. And if you go in there and you're like, I've got nothing to say. Listen, just tell us you were on Main Street that night. I'm not telling you nothing about nowhere. That's it.
Dude.
Let me call my lawyer, Ben Provenzano. We'll talk when he gets here.
Dude, if you sit down in the interrogation room and they bring out a cheese pizza and that Sprite soda you really wanted, Bro, you're done. I've seen it on a murder case, dude. I'm not even lying. I'm just like, this video is not gonna turn out well. We're just fucking chilling out, just talking away. And I'm like, that's just, it's not right, man. But I will tell you, it's a little bit different if the feds come knocking. Now, if the feds come knocking on your door, like Diddy, like dang Diddy the dang dummy, then like one Homeland Security is like not gonna miss on Diddy. We're all just waiting. But the feds don't miss. That's my point. They don't miss. They don't care about your fucking confession. They don't care about anything. They're so gangster that if you get arrested by the feds, they let you come in and do what they call a proffer statement. So they're like, we'll let you come in, tell us everything you've ever done wrong in life, and we'll give you a couple notches off your belt. But we don't need it, by the way. We don't need you to come and confess because we already got your shit. But if you want to come in, so I had a guy, like, nice dude, he's got caught up in some shit. And it was the craziest thing I sat in. It was like you had like Rambo, Clint Eastwood, Charles Bronson, fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, like ATF, snipers.
Nice.
Like no one blinked for like 45 minutes. And I just stood up and I'm like, you gotta relax because I'm gonna start confessing about the 12 lobsters I stole on my first grade field trip. Like, I'm fucking done, man. So, you know, that's lesson number one off this podcast tonight. If the feds come a knocking, just kiss your family goodbye. And two is if just the everyday fucking police come, don't say anything. Like nothing. Zero things.
Let me piggyback off of that. I like where this whole podcast is going. My favorite law enforcement is the U.S. Marshals. The U.S. Marshals have jurisdiction to go
anywhere
in the country. As a matter of fact, not even in the country, anywhere in the world. And I'll give you one better. When the marshals are looking for you, they don't stop until they find you. There's no escaping them. And they're, you know what their number one tactic is, Vin? They stake out your mom's house.
Yeah. That's
they know.
It's they incredible.
They know your like dumbass is going to stop by, and they'll be there waiting.
You know, like, every once in a while, I'm like, man, I would make a really good criminal. Like, because there's just, I'm a pretty smart dude, but like you don't got to be a smart dude to get away with shit. Like, you just can't be fucking stupid. And that is just, it's the most infuriating part of my job. It's just like, sometimes I'm like, or the clients that just lie to me. Like, right, like, you're just lying to me. And I'm like, I know you're lying. Like, I know it. Like, I'm like a human lie detector. And I'm going to find out you're lying. So just tell me, dude. Just tell me. You know, like when I college, like you believe I'm innocent. I'm like, you don't pay me to believe you. Like, that is wild. I don't care if you're innocent. I just care if I can get you off the fucking murder charge you got or whatever you're
help
doing.
Mount,
like,
help me mount a defense for you.
Help me help you. Just give me. Yes, I go straight right? Jerry Maguire. Like, I'm on my fucking knees. They're like, help me. Help you.
You know, the other, it's funny, the other big thing that tends to do criminals in, speaking of, like you say, don't be stupid, right? How often do these guys get away with something? And then next thing you know, the police round somebody up and you find out it was like, yeah, the guy went to a bar that night and told everybody and their brother that he murdered that lady and then robbed the bank. It's like, dude, why? Perfect crime. You got away with it. You go to a bar by yourself, have a couple of drinks, and you just starts like, how pathetic are you?
Dude, no, the best is the absolute best is you'll get like these cats that are just dealing drugs, right? And they all got the stash in the house. So they hire a crackhead to watch the crack stash. Like, it makes zero sense. So I had this I had this case where they had crackheads watching the crack, fucking guy gets back, they're like, oh shit, crack is gone, right? So they know the guy's sister, so they basically kidnap the sister and they like, hey, you got to meet us here and come get your sister back, but bring the drugs, right? So all of a sudden the cops get in there, the cops aren't figuring shit out, but they arrest the crackhead who stole the crack, right? So they bring him back to the police station. So my client goes to the police station to bond out the crackhead, and the guy's like, yo, that's the guy dealing drugs right there. And I'm like,
oh my god,
I'm like, I can't, man. Like, you just can't. You can't fix stupid. I don't knock people's hustle. Whatever you got to do to make money, I'm not here to judge, unless it's like human trafficking or like dog fighting or something like crazy. So anyone who's out there thinking, I just think it's okay to make money however way you can, that's not true. I do have some lines, but just don't be stupid, man. But it's an annuity for me. I don't need a 401k. I have no retirement plan. I just depend on my fellow human beings to keep being fucking stupid or having bad relationships. That's what I hang my hat on. Just, it's bad people's days make Vin's good days. It's horrible. Now that
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
It's really bad. Now that I think about it, like it's really bad. That's kind of sad, dude.
You're also saving people's asses.
I am. It's just whether you think they should be saved. But listen, everyone's entitled to a defense. Everyone's entitled to a reasonable divorce, you would think. But I think that's why I do this coaching. I think it's why I do the dog rescue stuff. I got to balance shit out, man. I just really got to balance it out. It was a long day today, but balance is key. I was talking to an attorney today about that, and he's like, you know, you seem a little more like laid back, like, and you know, not as stressed. And I had this dude, I had this purple suit on, bro, and it was like that shiny like material, like Goodfellas type of shit. And nice. Like there's one person that's pulling off in the court, it was me, and the guy's like, dude, you're just happy-go-lucky. And I'm like, cuz bro, like I'm not you find that I'm just not working till 10 o'clock at night. So like, I could just get a couple more fucking rubles and rubies and shit in my fucking bag. I was like, you go buy your billboards. I got my shiny bedazzled fucking suit on. I was like, I might wear rhinestones next week. I don't give a shit, you know, but yeah. So how was your week otherwise, dude?
Very good. I had a really good week. Oh, my goodness. Earlier today, I talked to a psychic medium. Her name is Rebecca Lo Cicero. No, this is amazing.
No, it ain't. You're not selling me, Joe. You're not selling me.
All right. You ready? Listen to this. This is really good. I cut in on a psychic reading about 10 years ago. Okay, there was a psychic reading at a radio station I worked at, and I got myself in, even though I wasn't on the list. And during the reading, my wife's father came through and said some stuff that I'm telling you right now, Vin.
Like on the radio station, like oh, he's dead.
He's dead. He's been dead for 20 some odd years. Yeah, and he was a big fan of that radio station. And basically said as much to the psychic. Like, he thinks it's really funny that you're here. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah, I said to the lady, look, I'm open to maybe there's something to it. I don't believe in souls. I don't believe in spirits. I do believe in energy. She reads vibrations. So I don't know. I then said to her, I go, you know, should people expect a reading? Or, and she said, no. And then she talked a little bit about how sometimes people misunderstand things in a reading. And she said, I might give out a date. I might say June 12th. And it doesn't mean anything to you, Vin, but it might mean something to somebody across the room. And I said, Rebecca, why did you pick June 12th? And she said, nothing I do is a coincidence. And I said, that's my wife's birthday. I mean, of all the days that lady could have pulled out of her ass to give as an example, within a minute of talking about my wife's father, she randomly set her birth date. Come on. Coincidence?
No. Yep. Ain't no way, dude. I can't go down this rabbit hole, bro. Ain't no way. I work in an office of ladies that are all about this shit, and it drives me wild. Like, it's just completely like wild scam artist. Ain't no way, dude.
Not for nothing.
This lady did a deep dive on you, 100%.
My wife is like, maybe she looked me up. I go, why would she look you up? Why wouldn't she have just looked me up?
Because, dude, that's because she's good. She made the extra effort, bro. She knew she was doing this podcast, and she wanted a shameless plug about her shit. Ain't no way, dude. That's just wild.
365 possible dates she could have picked in her example. And she picked my wife's birthday. That's a little bit nuts.
Listen, there's 6 billion people in the world, and my wife picked me. Okay? Everyone gets lucky every once in a while, my dude.
Solid point. Yeah. But that was sort of how my week went. It was mostly positive. A mostly positive week. So, and I... You know, Vin, I've slowly sort of gotten my schedule down. Things are going well. There's a little more running around, but I've had a lot more free time during the day, which is nice. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm trying to get there. It's baseball season for me, so running around court, baseball. Kid went 3 for 3, 2 doubles yesterday. It's nice. Killing it. But I've been trying to like work on like new techniques at work. Like, so I got a couple of things I'm working on. And I got called out yesterday on one. So I was in court, right? So I'm really trying to be more calm in my practice, right? Like, just in general, I tend to fly off the handle a little bit. And I do this weird tick with my hands now. So I actually saw it in a fucking movie. And it was a movie with Mark Wahlberg, and I can't remember what it was, but this guy would just like tap each finger to his thumb. Right. Like, yeah. Right. So you're just tapping. So like I'm in court and this attorney with an IQ of a fucking pen cap just kept fucking talking. So I just started doing this weird thing with my hands and the judge is just staring at me and I'm just, tap it away, tappity, tap, 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 tap. And she's like, Attorney Provenzano, whatever you're doing is very distracting. And I was like, Your Honor, I understand that, but if I didn't do that, I would be a lot more distracting right now. So I'm practicing my patience. So I've been working on that, and I bought this
That's good.
Timer. I bought a timer, so I've been working 30 minutes off, and then I get a 7-minute break. So every 30 minutes, alarms are going off in my office. But it's the greatest tool, by the way. Like, I'm a guy who I got a million things going on, probably like you. And I start something, then I'm like ADD on roids, right? Like, and I'm like, oh, look at the butterfly. Then I'm fucking off to do something else. And I never finished it. So I work. If I know I got to work in like 30-minute increments, I can remain focused for that 30 minutes. Right, like if you sit there and you're like, I gotta go work on something for an hour, you start looking for distractions. But if you know you have a built-in distraction coming in that 7 minutes or that 5-minute break, dude, it makes the day like so much more productive. It's
a really
thing
good idea.
Yeah, like it's you know, and I used to use my iPhone, but then I actually bought something so I could. It made me want to use it. But I can tell you, and then even like my 7 minutes is productive because then I got 7 minutes to myself, but it's like, I'll go make my coffee or I'll clean my office or I'll make it like a productive task or I'll work on some topics that we may touch upon tonight. Right. But it's a productive 7 minutes. And then throughout the whole day, your productivity will be like, it go through the roof. And especially if you're like me, you got multiple jobs, you're doing multiple things. You're able to compartmentalize what you're working on because you know you got that 30-minute window, or some people do 40 minutes, some people do 20 minutes and 5 minutes, you know. But yeah, so those are my two new habits this week I've been trying to work on. I try to do new habits every week. That's my new thing too. That and fasting. I've been intermittent fasting, by the way.
How's that going?
I am miserable, bro. Like I am. I decided to do intermittent fasting with no carbs. Like it's not like I just do one or the other. And
it's not great.
It's not like, and I've only been doing it 4 days, and I don't have abs yet, so I might give up. I might just call it a day. Like, if I can't have abs in 4 days, like, why do it? Like, why bother?
Yeah, honestly, if I was you, I would give up.
Yo, there was a Rice Krispie treat on the counter last night, and I don't know who was drooling more, my lab or I, me. Like, I was just staring at it. Like, almost got to the point where I took a bite, and then I was going to spit it out. I'm just like, I was so... so mad. And I'm a grazer, Joe. Like, I'm like a mini cow in the house. Like, I don't need to sit down and eat a meal. I just, anything I can grab a handful of, I'm good. And like, that's what I'm doing. So it's been an interesting week of habits, but the finger thing's a little weird, but it's helping with me not flipping out. The clock stuff is perfect. I think everyone should try doing that, especially if you're, you know, you're multitasking. Like, everyone's like, I'm a great multitasker. There's never been such a thing. Like, because if you're multitasking, you're only giving it like a quarter of your effort or half of your effort on what you're doing, because the other half of your brain is thinking about something else, right? So you take the multitasking out of it, and you're like, okay, I don't need to multitask. I just need to focus for this 30 minutes on what I'm doing. So that was my tips for the week. I think I'm going to – so what I try to do is I try to stack my habits. So I'll keep those habits in place. The intermittent fasting, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hang with that one, but we're going to give it a shot. And then I'll pick a new habit for next week, and I'll report on it. We'll have a be part of our segments, Vin's new habit. How about that? That's a good one, right?
Yeah, I like it. I like that. Yeah. I like that you're looking at it. You're analyzing it. That's important.
You have to improve a little bit every time. But I think the little habits are good. I mean, you get rid of some of the bad habits I have, dude. I mean, I don't have any because I'm great, but I know you don't. I know the great Joe does not have any bad habits. If someone was to ask your wife, like, what's your worst habit? What is she saying?
Oh boy, she would probably have a list for you. I know one of her biggest complaints is my inability to put clothes in the hamper. I'm more of a on top of the hamper kind of guy.
My wife might complain about the laundry, but I get mad at my wife for doing the laundry too fast.
What does that mean, too fast?
It's my only complaint I have of my wife. Like, as much as I talk about my wife and I'm like, she, you know, watches shows without me, you know, I get all that. But I can't stand the fact she does so much laundry. Like, I get home and, like, my laundry is done and it's folded. And then I got to put it away. Right? It's a first world problem. But then I swear, she does it so fast, I just don't have time to put it all away. So I get mad. I'm like, because you stop doing laundry. Like, it sounds stupid now that I'm saying it out loud.
That's the worst problem I've ever heard as far as problems are concerned. You know what happens to me all the time? My wife hates this. I don't do it all the time, but every now and again, where I see fit, Vin, I'll go empty the dryer and I'll fold everything mm-hmm. in the dryer. There'll mm-hmm. be the Joe pile, the Jess pile, Elliot, Reagan, yep. Kaylee. I put everyone's and I fold it. I don't fold it like I work at the Abercrombie store. I just fold it, boom.
That would bother
me. My wife hates that. My wife is like, don't even bother doing it then. And I'm like, I won't.
I would agree, though.
You're upset that I'm folding it wrong? Really? That's where we're at? Come on.
Yeah, no, I'm team wife on that one. I worked at the Gap for 8 years. Like, I got I'm very specific about things like that. Or the other thing is the fucking lint trap that my stepson and my wife just refused to change ever. It's like a woolly mammoth. It looks like a literal mini cow. Like the whole fucking thing is just hairy. But yeah,
I trained my 8-year-old son to love that thing. He empties it all the time.
But Matt, imagine if that's like your biggest problem in your life, dude. Like that's how you know you made it. It's not the money and the cars and the women I get all the time. Hilarious. It's my wife does my laundry too fast. I fucking made it, Joe. Like I really I've hit the lottery on this one, man. Score
You're
one
doing
for the
all right
good guy.
For yourself. Yeah.
I am. It's
you know, it's funny you say that because you know, not for nothing. Sometimes people will complain to you about things, and you might think to yourself, "Go fuck yourself, really? That's your worst problem." But that might be their biggest problem. That might
Correct.
Be the thing that's keeping them up awake at night. You know?
Yeah. It might not be a problem to you. But
yeah. It might seem like just a minor inconvenience how your wife is just getting that laundry done so quickly. But, you know, these are the things that keep you up at night.
It is. And I think it's also her tolerating my nonsense is her best quality.
Yeah.
Right? Like her, the fact that she can tolerate me getting enraged about how much laundry she does just speaks to the great person she is, right? Like, if you know, once you have the pleasure to meet my wife, you're gonna find that we're very, very different people. Like, very, she's a much better person than I am. But I think my favorite thing about my wife, besides, yes, she's beautiful and smart and all that stuff. I mean, that's a given. Look at me, right? Like, I'm not walking around in a house, right? That's fucking if it ain't a 10 and 8 for me, right? Like, that's just not how I am. But the fact that I could just be me, like, I could just, like, it's the best thing anyone could do is just be them, be an environment when you're them, right? Like, or yourself. Yeah. Right. Like you sit there, and I had heard a quote today. It's if you're lucky to be different, embrace it and hold on to it. Right. Like, because we live in this world of you have to conform and you got to be like these people, or you got to wear these clothes and can't say this, you can't say that. And, you know, just tone down you. Right. But if you can live in an environment where like you can just be you all the time and that person doesn't. You don't have to be perfect, right? Like you spend your whole time being imperfect for imperfect people. It's the craziest thing in the world. Like, well, I want to be the perfect husband or I want to be the perfect wife. But if you look across the table, like your husband or your wife is not perfect, right? Like, it's not like you're trying to live up to their perfection because no one is. So just be yourself. Right. And that's the best thing about my wife. Like, I am an outrageous person to live with half the time, right? Like, I am just... I'm a bit much. Like I walked into my closet last night and I was still laughing at myself. Like, cause my stepson's friend like DM me some ridiculous shit in Instagram. Like, right. So I clearly said something back that's just not appropriate for a grown man to be texting someone in high school, but it was the funniest thing I've said all day. So I'm just laughing to myself. Right. But instead of her shunning me and shaming me, she just laughed. She's like, yeah, that he's all mine. Right. So I think you have to, you know, embrace, you know, I think and we've talked about this. Like, it's one of my favorite things with you. Like, you have just embraced yourself. And I think it's you can't say it enough is that once you're confident in who you are. Right. You become infectious to other people. Right. Like that. Like it's more I think it's more courageous to go be yourself in a world of people who are just being like other people. Right. Like you're on Instagram. You're not being yourself. You're trying to live like that person you've seen on Instagram, right? And they're not, they may not even be living the life they want to live, but they're living the life they think you want them to live.
Right.
Right. That is the crazy thing. So I think, you know, being comfortable with yourself and being with someone who allows you to be comfortable with who you are is, you know, the best thing, and the is a sign of a very healthy relationship.
I was just going to say, I think all of your relationships, your best friend, your significant other, those should all be people who you don't have to put any kind of front on. To me, that's the truest happiness that I think one can attain, is that idea of, because let's be honest, you know, there's many times throughout the day where you got to put it on a little bit. You got to lay it on a little thick. Sometimes for business, sometimes with family, sometimes with whatever the situation might be, you're not being your real self. And so if you go home and you're in a relationship and she's got some expectation that you're not living up to, and you know you can't, but you're faking the funk best you can, and you got a crew of friends maybe from work, and you don't really know what you're doing. You're a liability at work, and it's all going to catch up to you someday. And you're just, you know what I mean? If you're living in that kind of a world, I can only imagine the anxiety and the fits of rage that must come with that feeling of you're just putting on an act. And when you do something with that act and people like it, you don't even get the satisfaction of like, hey, I made my friend smile today, because it's like, bullshit. That's how you did it.
Yeah.
So you can't even take credit for the good things you do when you're faking the funk. I can't express how important it is to be around people that will allow you to be you all the time. And especially in your most vulnerable and relaxed moments. I think that's the key to life.
And it's okay to know that some people aren't going to like it, and it's fine. Like not everybody's going to like you, right? We've said that before. Like, I don't like everybody, and that doesn't make him a bad person, but I like me more than I like anybody else, to be honest with you, because I'm so comfortable with me that I know that anyone who interacts with me and who's a friend of mine is getting me. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, I call it my previous life. Right. Like, you know, it's so long ago, 5 years ago, but I think that was one of the things. My personality was a bit much for our relationship. So when we would go out, it's don't say this, don't wear your hat that way. We're going to be running into these people, which was fine for her. Like that was her thing. She's, you know, I was a bit much, but I was just being me. But then I would just spend the whole night, like, you know, calming the fire that's inside me. And then I would just be mad when I got home. Like, I would just be like, or it would just eventually just come out like a jack in a fucking box, dude. It would just be out of nowhere. We were at a corporate event. It was like a Christmas party or something. And it was, hey, don't say anything crazy. And like, listen, like, I get it. I say some inappropriate shit, so I'm not even, like, mad at her for it, right? You know, my ex-wife, like, I do. I say some crazy stuff that you probably, maybe you, it's not that you shouldn't say it, it's just most people aren't going to say it at a tax party, right? So she's like, hey, you know, you could take Vin, can you bring it down to, like, a 3 or 4 tonight? So I'm at this snooze fest of a fucking tax event. Right. Nice people. They're doing a house. It's just, you know, so I'm kind of getting bored with these conversations. So I just, all of a sudden, I start talking to some CEO guy, end up being my client, but he's like, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, no, I'm a lawyer, but like, I'm really looking to change careers. And she's looking at me and I'm like, here we go. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, oh, you know, I want to pet puppies. He's like, what do you mean you want to pet puppies? And I'm like, you know, like you get that weird guy at PetSmart. He has no pet around whatsoever, but he's petting your fucking dog. That'd be me, but I'm getting paid for it. And then I'd have these cool puppy gloves, right? So they made your puppy feel extra special. And all of a sudden, the fucking whole place is erupting. And I just go into this puppy petting bit for like a half hour. And I got a talking to. I'm at home. And she's like, why do you always have to do that shit? We also played the penis game. Who could say penis the loudest without stopping? That might have been the one that took it over the edge. But a funny story is, so the guy I was telling that story to, when I wrapped up his divorce, he's like, yo, don't forget, go get those puppy gloves. And I'm like,
puppy gloves.
You know, the whole point was, is just like, it just bubbles over. And I used to get mad at her about it and blame her for why I was getting angry. But it was neither one of us realizing that, listen, it's just, I mean, she realized it clearly because she divorced me, but it took a while to get there where it just wasn't going to mesh, right? And that you can't be mad at someone because they don't like you, right? Like, I didn't expect her to change for me. Like, super nice, but she was very type A, very strong woman. Like, you know, like, she was doing her thing and strong personality, but I knew that already. Like, that's what I married. Like, I was good with it, but like on the flip side, it wasn't reciprocated as much, and I understand it. But then going back to my wife now, that's why she gets wife of the fucking, like, forever. Like, she's the best wife in the world, because I could go and I'm constantly saying crazy shit, and I don't even mean to anymore. It's just like we were at our fucking high school reunion, bro. I swear to God, I said this. And it's just wild. So this guy's talking to me, and I'm already like, why am I here? I didn't realize my wife was that old, because everyone graduated in fucking 1934 or however old they were. And this guy's like, dude, you are wild. I'm like, you have no idea. And he's like, where are you from? And I'm like, my mom's vagina. And my wife just looked at me. And he's just like, he gets that awkward laugh. He's like, no, seriously, dude, where are you from? I'm like, same place, mom's vagina. And she's like, why? Why do you say this shit? I'm like, you know what? It's the reaction. I have no idea. It flies out of my mouth. But she loves me all the same, dude. You know, and I just, the problem is the kid is starting to pick up on my habits.
Well,
the youngster brains, we had to have a conversation. We went golfing, and I'm like, listen, everything you do wrong is going to get blamed on me. Okay? So she's not going to blame your dad. She's not going to blame anyone else. Everyone is pointing at this guy. So when you're popping off and saying crazy stuff, it goes right. She literally, like, both the mom and dad do. They spin around, and they know. So I'm like, bro, you gotta relax a little bit, right? You know, what did he come up with? We were talking the other night. We have inappropriate conversations at the dinner table. So, new words. So my wife doesn't like when you make any type of fat joke. You can't make a fat joke. Can't point out any of that stuff. And it's not like
body. It's called body shaming.
Yeah. So it's not like me and the kid are walking around Cromwell body shaming people. It's not like we pull over, hey, buddy, blah, 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 right? That's a little rude. But like, if I want to tell a fat joke at the dinner table, it's my dinner table, right? Like, so so we got a couple of new ones now, so we don't have to say it. So we have the, it's so great, the veggie virgin, right? That's a good one, the veggie virgin. Or the calorie connoisseur, right? So she's like, you know, it doesn't make it any better. And I'm like, listen, first of all, I was 298 pounds. So I was part of the club. And usually every 5 years, come back, my membership is renewed, and then I lose my weight again, and then I renew my membership. So I could say things like that. But you got to give the kid credit for being a little bit creative at the dinner table, right? Like, so, but yeah, he's definitely,
you know what, not for nothing. I always tell my kids, and this kind of goes back to what I was just saying about being in, like, when you're in your zone, your place, yep. you're special, you know, like yep. my son got in trouble. My 8-year-old son got in trouble at the beginning of the school year for doing finger guns at school. And he came home and he was like, that's so stupid. Like, you know, we had a Nerf gun fight earlier today.
Yep.
You know, people getting shot in the face, the whole nine. And so I explained to my son when they made that, he got like had to miss recess for a couple days for it or whatever the case may be. And I was like, listen, when you're at school, you got to be one way. There are certain rules apply there. You can't use foul language. My son will drop an F-bomb in this house. it always in funny, really funny, appropriate ways,
yep.
comedically speaking. And so I've always stressed that with my kids. When you're home, read the situation. If right. I'm upset with you for something, right? Read the room, but I also want you to feel like you're in your safe zone. We say shit here. We shit talk yeah. each other here.
Yep.
It's all in good fun. We poke fun at each other and really, you know, take jabs.
Yeah,
at
you
each
get
other.
After it. Yeah.
And this is the place for them to do it. And I want them to understand that. And so, and I'll tell you, since we started doing that, my son's confidence level is like through the roof. When he first got in the second grade, he was very unsure of himself. Earlier in the school year, he told me he thought he was ugly. And right now, Vin, we went to a birthday party over the weekend.
Yeah.
And when we went to sit down for the pizza party after the skating, four different little girls were like, I want to sit with Elliot.
That this kid's boy. Just
exuding confidence. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my favorite moment, my son just recently started watching Jim Carrey movies.
Oh, yes. Good. Good.
So he gets out on the ice and they've got those plastic, they look like a walker and it kind of mm-hmm. helps you to skate. Dude, this kid's kicking up his feet. I swear to God, it was like Jim Carrey at an ice rink. And he was cracking up all of his friends. And I looked at him. I go, dude, I go, stop moving your feet so much. And then I realized what he was doing. just being a fucking goofball, drawing big laughs. He comes off the ice when it was time to finish up. And it's a hockey rink, right? So there's a scoreboard. And the time on the scoreboard was 1:21.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks over at his friends. He goes, they must have been counting how many times I fell. All the kids started laughing. And this cracked me up. This little girl who's got a huge crush on him, she giggled mildly when he said that. And then he turned and looked at her and she just burst out laughing. And I thought to myself, that girl yes. right there, that's the girl that you want in your life, buddy. You want a girl that's going to, she knew he needed that big laugh. She was there to boost him up, you know, and that's yeah, important. You want to be around the people that want to lift you up and support you. And again, I think so many times it's not the person you want it to be.
Correct.
And you might say things like, oh, no, nobody gives a shit about me. And there's that one person that's like, I do.
Yeah.
It's maybe not the person you want, but you know what? Those relationships are special and precious. And those are the ones you really should be putting your time and effort into.
Oh, I lost you there for a minute. You hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and I think the other thing, which is cool, and I just had a conversation with my friend Craig yesterday. We're talking via text. Is the moment as a parent you see it click with your kid, right? Like when you see that, like that moment where that confidence clicks, and he gets it, right? Like he was just like, "Oh, I got this, and I'm good at this, and when I do this, yep. boom, right? And it's just that, 4 weeks ago, he's like, I'm ugly. And then 4 weeks later, he's pulling girls at a skating rink, telling jokes and being the life of the party, right? And I remember with Jess, it was because Jess, has no reason to be a shy kid. Good looking, athletic, just a great kid, super smart. But I just remember like this year I remember just looking at him and he's really like in his element, right? He knows he's the dude in sports, but he's super humble about it. He's like, he's looking in the mirror, he's like, whoo! He's like, look at me. But he's like kind of humble about it, but he's just walking around different. He's like a dude now. And he was like, imagine how I'd be if you weren't here, which actually made me feel good, right? Like it
Yeah.
was because like he had it, but I think he had to have someone in the house to show that it's okay to have that bravado, right? And my wife will worry, well, what if he's talking like this at the house? He's gonna talk like this outside the house. I'm like, first of all, Jess is never gonna be that kid. He's just not. He's not built that way. You should be worried about me saying that, and that would be a very legitimate concern. But I'm very much like you. It's our house is a safe space. Like kids come over for at the dinner table, they're all warned. Hey, we have dinner at the dinner table. We chop it up, we rag on each other, we have a blast, and we know how to act when we go out of this house. But at that dinner table, hey, but it's so funny to watch like just do it and then to watch my wife's reaction to it. Because my wife loves it, but then you can see it's, where's my baby? Right? Because I got that bird's eye view. So I'm just watching this all unfold of the proud mom, but she still wants them to be that little kid at times. Like it's the wildest thing, but it's also the proudest things when you see, like, especially with me, because it's not my biological kid. So it's not like, oh, that's how I was as a kid, or I used to look like that. Like I don't get any of that, but that little piece of personality is hilarious. Like it's just because I'm like, oh, he's getting it. And but I think that goes back to people are going to see, hey, if you're comfortable in your skin, then it's going to be okay for me to be me, right? So by you accepting yourself, you're helping people accept themselves. And like I said, some people are going to be that window or that door, right? Not everyone's going to be the floors that just accept you for you. But to know that and be able to surround yourself with those people that do it and be in that environment, it's the best thing in the world, man. Like it is. And I couldn't imagine being a dad and having a son come, up to me and was just like, hey, I don't think I'm good looking, or like, because that's got to break your heart as a dad. But like it's also got to be the proudest of being like, yo, that little stinker fucking bounced back. Like that is some stones. I know he doesn't get that from you. That's got to be your
Yeah,
wife, bro,
well,
right?
it's funny too. Earlier in the school year, Smarty Pants, he this kid had a couple of meltdowns at school, cursed out the teacher, which is totally out of character for him. Like, I almost couldn't believe he did it. And again, this was when he was not feeling very good about himself. The littlest things would set him off. They'd be, doing circle time or whatever, and somebody might do the shh, and he would lose his shit. Took everything as a slight, right? It just didn't feel good about himself at all. And after he told me that, it was, I try to make a conscious effort to say complimentary things to him, but and not in like a bullshit way, but to just try to say, like, out of the blue, reassuring, and just trying to overall build, and slowly but surely, like, they put him on a little system where he would get stars every day. Now he gets all of his stars, and he's helping out with the first graders and stuff. Like, he's become a little role model for the other kids. This is, I don't know if I told this story too yet, but it's worth rolling with for a minute because it's short. His favorite color is pink.
Yep.
Loves pink shirts. He loves to dance. He's a big Michael Jackson fan. And my wife told him earlier in the year, she was like, you know, listen, you grow up, you can love whoever you want. Like, mom and dad are cool and will always love and support you. And he looks at my wife, he goes, you think I'm gay? It's like, I like girls.
God. I was waiting for it. I was waiting
8
for
years
it.
Old, dude. Nah, not for me. But thanks anyway, mom. Like, that's how aware these kids are nowadays. I was 14 years old then, and I saw this gay kid getting bullied by these two guys in high school, and I knew I could have kicked both of their asses. And I intervened, and I was like, they kept calling this kid a fag. 14, Vin, I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what that meant or what that entailed at all. I just knew I was seeing another man cry at the hands of two others, and it didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
8 years old, it is like, yeah, no, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I think actually my stepson is like hanging out at the Dairy Queen parking lot and he doesn't know I'm sitting in this car talking to you. Like, there's a bunch of kids. This shit's getting real weird.
If you were
right
doing
a
podcast right now, that would be weird and creepy.
No, it's super weird and creepy because now they're getting out of their fucking cars, and I can guarantee you what is going on over here. This is getting weird. But my whole point was, this is getting real awkward. I feel like a really weirdo right now. They're like high beaming me and shit. I might have to fight some kids.
Mr. Provenzano, what are you doing here?
Why are your pants off? I love Dairy Queen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I would have been in all sorts of trouble when I was a kid because I loved pink. That was my favorite color. And back when I was a kid, it was that like neon pink, like the New Kids on the Block, like pink. And like, it definitely would have, I mean, when I was a kid, the parents weren't having that conversation. But if I was like 8 years old today wearing pink, oh, my mom would have said some crazy shit. My mom would have been like, yo, you're definitely gay and that's okay. I love you, but you are. Then like, she probably would have tried to convince me. Cause that's just how my mom was. She was very aggressive. Yeah. That's where I get it from. Like, but yeah, man, it's, but yeah, kids know a lot these days. Like, I think they know too much sometimes though. I think it's too much information for these kids.
Weight of the world, dude. The weight of the world is on these kids' shoulders, man. They know everything. And if they don't, they can find anything and everything. And I don't think that we realize how heavily that weighs on them, that they know way more stuff than we did at that age. And we look at these kids as being kind of helpless. And it's like, I don't know, Vin. I think if we had all the information that they had back when we were kids, we would have been a lot more fucked up.
Oh, 1,000%. Because I think when you're learning stuff organically, it's much different. Like, it's a different pace. You're not getting that. You're not oversaturated with information. I was listening to Trevor Noah's podcast this morning, which I think is fantastic. But I love Trevor Noah. I think he's hilarious. But they were talking about the pressure of, you know, having a boyfriend or having a girlfriend or finding that right person. And you don't meet that person organically anymore. It's Tinder, it's Grindr, it's Bumble, and it's all this AI artificial matching. Oh, you guys are compatible, but you're not working through the issues to find out if you are compatible, right? If you don't match, you feel bad, right? Like, then you feel bad about yourself. And they were talking about it because they had that stabbing in Australia where the guy ran through the mall, killed 6 people, stabbed like a dozen, and they interviewed the dad, and they're like, do you know why he did this? And the dad's like, yeah, because he couldn't get a girlfriend. Like, obviously the kid had issues, but he was just like, you know, because he's like, listen, he couldn't socially interact with people, like all of these things. And then that's how they got into, like, sometimes it's too easy, it's too much information, and you're not, that interaction that we had as kids is no longer there. And I think that's what worries me, is that, you know, the kids don't have that. And I think people in general just don't have that interaction anymore. And then you made it feel bad about it, because now you feel bad because you're socially weird, quote unquote, right? Like you don't know how to socialize, but especially these kids who were in eighth grade that are now going to be graduating high school, you didn't socialize for a year. And that, like, yeah, eighth to ninth grade is a big jump. You know, so it's really, I think the information overload is crazy. I think, you know, the ease for which, like, people get information and things like that, it's just, it's crazy. Now it's good, it's a blessing, but it's bad, and because it's too much, it's just too much stuff.
This computer program thinks that we'd communicate really well together, and it's like, well, you could just try communicating. I don't know if I've did I Yeah, you know the story. Maybe you don't. I don't know if I've ever told you the story of my, I don't have time for it now. The story of my wife and I getting together. It's an amazingly long story. And it the, happened it, over the it, course.
This isn't the one where she was like dating your friend, right? Was that somebody else?
No, that was my first wife. This was all my right, second good, wife. Good.
All right.
I'm going to tell you that story because it's an amazing story, but it's and we tell it together in tandem and people love it. It's long and convoluted. But a couple of years ago, I was out to dinner with a good friend of mine that I've known a long time. He had just gotten married. And my wife and I went and told our whole stupid 25-minute long story.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife looks at her and she goes, "So how did you guys meet?" And she goes, "Tinder." And I thought to myself, "Is that what you can tell your grandkids? How'd you guys meet?" "Well, Daddy went on a website because he wanted to get his dick sucked, and your mom came over, and oh my 3 months God, later dude. We were together, and you guys were born." So
I'm not gonna lie, I met my first wife on Match. I was like, I think we were the only two people on Match at the time.
Yeah.
But it's but I would agree with you, because I had met my new wife and I like did a double date through a mutual friend. But like, I don't even think she knows this, but like my favorite memory of my wife was from our first date. So we broke off, went off by ourselves, and I remember I was like walking in the bathroom and I turned around and I remember she was smiling at me. Like I can picture her sitting like right next to me. And like, I would have never had that moment if we had met another way, right? Like, whether it's fucking Tinder, Match, whatever it was, I think it would have been different. But, you know, doing the double date thing and then like, okay, we'll hang out for an hour at a bar, and you don't get that moment, right? So, and, you know, and I got to kind of, you got to go be yourself, right? Like, bringing a first circle. Like, I remember like I wasn't me that night because I wore a sweater vest, bro. Like, it was the worst fucking thing in the world. Like, I haven't been on a date in 14 years. This poor mom, like a mom of a 12-year-old boy at the time, has to go on a date. I got cranberry pants and a fucking sweater vest on, dude. And I'm like, "Hey, I'm Vin." No, she's like, "Yo, you definitely got to be single, bro." It was fucking bad. It was a bad move, but. Yeah, man, I'm in agreement on that. I think it's too much info, but you know, that's why you have us old heads. You know, it's our job to tell kids, "Hey, this is how we used to do shit, and it's okay to do it that way." Right. And go from there, dude. And we can't be old heads that hate too, though. Like, we gotta get into it a little bit. Like, we don't gotta get into Tinder and stuff, because that'd be frowned upon. I passed that. But remember Hot or Not? Not to get off topic, but did you ever?
I do.
We ever part? You know, talk about like how crazy that website was. I was really trying to log into my account the other day, right, just to see if it was still happening, and it got bought out. So I was super disappointed. I wanted to see if my 7.6 ever like got to that 8 I wanted. But like, talk about like the confidence killer of all confidence killer. You just throw a picture up, you're like, I look good in this one, and you get like a fucking 1. Like, awful. And I used to do it all the time. I just rate girls all the time, just ruining lives with a swipe of a fucking thumb.
We didn't realize how much damage we were doing to each other.
No, like now that I think about it, I want to apologize to all those like 3 to 5.
Right? I'm so sorry. Anybody I scored under a 6, my pie. I was being nasty, to be honest. That was all me. All right. Well, listen, this was we got to get you out of that parking lot. I know that.
Yeah, I do. Because... like, I'm going to circle around because if my stepkid is out here, dude, he's going to owe me big so I don't go home and tell
you.
You've
been out there for so long that anybody that's at that Dairy Queen right now, everybody thinks you're an undercover cop.
Very. They're like, yo, it's funny because I know a lot of these kids over here. I'm going to creep up on them. Watch this. I'm going to scare the fuck out of them. All right, my man, this was a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, check out changeofplansct.com. I think, Joe, maybe we do the live one. I know we've been talking about it, but maybe we'll hit him with a live podcast next week.
I love it. Yeah, the live show. It's about time. We haven't seen each other in a while either, other than like through here. So I'm looking forward to
that. Here are my dreams, Joe. Here are my dreams, dude.
I love it. Make sure you like and subscribe, share this with people. You've got our permission to share this. You want to throw this up on your page? We would love that. If you are interested in some coaching services, as Vince said, changeofplansct.com is the website. For Vin Provenzano, I'm Joe McGuire. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Change of Plans podcast.
Peace.